opinions stated by various contributors to Blessed Beats Radio. Its website and its radio programs are not to be considered as endorsed by A Better Broadcasting Media and A Better Entertainment LLC. Visitors are urged to use their own discernment to draw their own conclusions. We emphasize the importance of keeping an open mind and not construing the data, products, and or services.
It's like you're looking through a telescope. You see where you're going to be. Show muscle. Now you're stronger than you've ever been. They can't stop your hustle. Your faith ain't never small. That's what brought you this far.
Oh, yeah.
See, you got your dreams and you got your prayers and you got your God. He gonna take you there. See, everybody has a season. And I believe this one's yours. Cause you've been working, waiting. This what you've been praying for.
But in this harsh reality, sometimes I
What's up, my good people, better known as Confluencers? Thank you for tuning in to Confluence the Lifestyle, where confidence meets influence on Blessed Beats, the inspiration of hip-hop. This is your girl, Charlie Marcole, the sunshine that brightens your day. Happy Sunday to you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Blessed Beats. It feels good to be back once and again to enlighten your airways, to make your day a little brighter and your load a whole lot lighter. Thank you for tuning in to me with this Sunday afternoon. I hope all is well in your world and your weekend was fanciful like mine. Yes, fanciful like mine. I told you, hot girl summer was over and now it is fanciful fall. And yesterday I sweated off 100 pounds walking on the yard. Man, it feels good. It felt good to be back on the yard. I think U of H beat PVU. So good. Shout out to my alma mater. And I overslept this morning. I missed service, but I caught it in Bedside Baptist. And if you stream live from Bedside Baptist, Baptist Church, it's cool just as long as you got fueled up on your word and you are ready for the week. Today's show is going to be great. I have some guests in the studio. And we are ready to talk about Jesus, justice, and hip-hop in an ever-changing word. So my word for the week is hip-hop-eration. That's where hip-hop meets the Christian. Hip-hop-eration. It sounds like hip-operation, but it's hip-hop-eration. So I have my guest in the house. Mr. Jason Brown.
I'm here.
Are you here? Are you ready?
Let's rock and roll, man. I'm here. Or should I say, let's hip-hop-eration.
Let's hip-hop-eration. You know, when they, you know, say, Charlie, we want you to come onto the Blessed Beats family. We want you to be the bridge to bring worldly meets Christian, to bring souls, you know, to Christ. So I think about things that people struggle with. You know, we struggle with music, we struggle with decisions, we struggle with, you know, the right decisions that we make, right? And then sometimes we think that the Christian lives the perfect life. But when I think about, you know, Christ, he didn't save perfect people. He saved people like me.
And me.
And me.
Especially me.
So we're going to get into it. So I do a segment every week called Santa Train. Right? Don't be nervous. Open up.
Come on, you know I came to vibe.
Come on, vibe with me. Don't be new to it. Be true to it.
Word up.
Word, okay. Word up. So we talking about hip-hop meets Jesus.
Sure.
In an ever-changing world. Is there ever a time where you can be mixed with Jesus but have a little jigger in your soul?
I want to say, just to be flat honest, we're going to open up like that, all right, we're going to vibe. Yeah, to be honest, let me tell you about me. That's who I am. I was talking to the kids at church today. So I love the Lord. He heard my cry, pitied every groan. Long as I live, trouble rise. I'm all the way Baptist. I've been that all my life. I know those hymns. But I'm also a child of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think me loving hip-hop music does anything to my salvation.
Mm.
I'm secure in Christ. Absolutely. When I accepted his substitutionary death on the cross, I am absolutely secure in Christ. I know my place in him, and I know my place when it's all over. Here comes the issue, though, is when the hip-hop that I listen to becomes the influence in the way that I live,
mm-hmm.
in the way that I treat people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm Scarface when I'm in the gym. You know, and even sometimes when I'm looking for a business lift, like sometimes I'm riding into work, and it's not Ty Tribbett that day. Sometimes I'm riding into work, and I'm listening to Jay and Pharrell, So Ambitious. The motivation for me.
Come on, younger dog quads in a section.
So ambitious. Now, I'm not going to say the rest of it, But it does not push me to go and live out that kind of lifestyle. But there are some things where hip hop talks about some things that even scripture talks about, and one of them is justice. Treating people fairly, you know, you keep pushing even in the face of what could be abject failure. And those kinds of things. And the truth of the matter is, hip hop, we look at, so I remember when I was making a real major shift in my life, because that's all I listened to, and I was like, you know what, this is starting to influence in a very serious way the way that I think and the way that I act. I remember when I was young and I got my Straight Outta Compton tape.
Straight Outta Compton.
Yo, man. Yeah, and you know when that beat hit, you know what's coming up. But I remember I had my Lokes and my Raiders cap, and I had it real low, and I'm like 12 or 13. And my dad said, he said, he just looking at me, we riding in the car, he looking at me, he said, son, I said, yeah, dad, he said, who in, I'm not gonna say it the way he said it for the sake of, you know, blessed beach. He said, who in the world are you trying to be? And really in my mind, I'm like, Q, I'm straight out of South Side of Houston where a lot of white people stay, but I'm Q. I'm South Central. I'm, you know, all of what came with Straight Outta Compton. And I noticed even at that age that it started to have more of an influence than did biblical principles and precepts and growing in my spiritual journey. So then as I grew, I went through my 5 years of college at D. Southern University and A&M College in Baton Rouge. Oh, let me expose you real quick. Hold on. I'm coming
back.
Wait
a minute.
No. I got to expose you because you said, oh, you know, U of H, BPV. But I know I read a post somewhere on social media that said somebody was rooting for the people in purple.
Who's rooting for the people in purple? God, because God believes purple is royalty. Yes, God.
Oh, you exposed. You're exposed. Okay, so back to the show. And so over time, like, so when I started doing youth ministry work, I'm like, there has to be a bridge for kids. You know, our kids in this age are not, you know, listening to Mahalia Jackson and you know, Grover, Cleveland, James Cleveland. You know, kind of, I'm gonna say Grover, James Cleveland. What are they listening to? So I called my cousin in L.A., Terry, and I was like, look, man, you produce music. I need somebody that's rapping, but it's about Jesus. Because I need to bang that in my truck. You know, I can only do Straight Outta Compton and Mr. Scarface's Back in the Diary for so long. I need something else, and then I want to expose my kids to something else. And so then he was like, I'm going to send you some CDs. And then the first one I heard that actually had banging beats but was spitting truth was The Truth. And at the time, he was on Cross Movement. I was like, this guy is... You better catch up with his metaphors. You better know your word. Listen to
you
truth.
Gotta know your word, because a lot of rappers actually drop word in their lyrics.
Absolutely.
Right? Because listen, I am shout out to the people that listen to trap music and church music on the way to work each and every day. I'm one of those people. Like you said, some days it's a little biggie, but listen, Tupac is my go-to.
Sure.
Right? And you know, early Tupac, right? That early Tupac. But a lot, and if you know the word, they drop the word a lot in their lyrics. And so, like, I think, you know, without people knowing it, I think it's very clever to catch them, because you got to catch a fish before you skin it.
Well, yeah.
Do you agree?
I agree 100%.
So do you think some artists give God justice and the glory that he is due?
No. No, I don't. As much as I love hip-hop, the truth of the matter is there is no glory in misogyny and violence. That's not connected to God at all. You may be just telling a story. But I find it weird, and maybe you can help me with this. I find it weird as when they're getting these awards, and they're making their music, and they say stuff like, man, God gave me this, and God gave me this gift, and I want to give all glory to God. But your music, when you listen to the stories, is not God-honoring really at all. I find that a weird paradox. So I don't really see them as glorifying God in their music. I just see them as telling a story.
So
God may have a footnote.
God may have.
I understand.
And that's the sad part, is that he's a footnote. Actually, he's the whole note.
He's the whole note. He's the whole note. So here's the thing. I was telling Nick and I, before we come on the air, we kind of like talk about the show. And I told Nick about the time that it's a video my friends have of me dancing to Jesus Peace. You don't believe in Jesus. white got a Jesus piece, right?
Kodak.
Right? Yeah, and okay. I'm like, hey, right? Uh-huh. Like, yeah. But then you pull the lyrics, and it's like, yeah.
Some of the worst smudge you ever read in your life, huh?
Yes. And so I'm like, how did you get that out of the, how did you come up with that hook and those lyrics?
Right.
Like, they don't match. And I think that's, we are doing more damage to the culture, right? Because that could have been a powerful song if he really made that about why you walking this peace and you don't even believe in Christ.
Well, so if you go to if you go to one of the Christian hip hop artists I really love is Andy Mineo. Andy Mineo did an album called Heroes for Sale. No, it was on Heroes. It wasn't on Heroes. It was on an EP he did, and it's a song called I can't think of the song. I'll look it up. But he drops a lyric in there. He says, essentially, I might drop and wear a Buddhist symbol. He said, I'm just doing what y'all doing, wearing stuff I don't believe in. Mm. We got crosses around our necks. And that is the paradox. One is opposite of the other. And when we kind of throw God in as a footnote, the suggestion may be is that God is signing off on what I'm talking about, that God is signing off on the content that I'm putting out, regardless of the damage, because there's some kid out there trying to be cute. There's some kid out there that's trying to mimic what you're saying, because we know that music has power, music has influence.
Yes, music most definitely.
Music moves whole masses of people. And so when you put irresponsible content out there, and then take your hands
preach
off,
on it,
like
preach on it.
You're misusing your gift, right?
Yeah, I think so. But then at the same time, you can't not tell the story.
That's true.
You can't not. You can't be silent. There's a group of people that don't know what goes on in the hood, if you will. Even like I didn't grow up in the hood, but I grew up in racism. Right. And there's a group of people that don't know that actually exists. Like, if you black, you gotta be from the hood. Nah, I grew up in the suburbs, but there was a whole lot of people that did not care for the way I looked, and they made it known. And those stories need to be told. If we don't tell the story, and I say this all the time, a very strong mark of black culture is oral tradition,
mm-hmm.
right? And it is our job to tell the story, and if our kids don't know, it's because we didn't tell it. And we have to tell the entire story, and so sometimes it comes over on a trap beat and some lyrics. But the story
come
needs
on,
to
trap
be told.
Music, come on, trap music.
It needs to be told, but the issue with what we always seem to have is that it's not responsibly told.
Right. No, absolutely.
I mean, we'll put it on a beat. It'll be nice. It'll be catchy. But it'll have nothing of substance within the verses. I mean, back in the 80s, even though some people had their issues with it, most of the verses had substance.
Right.
And I love N.W.A., and I'm not going to say they were part of the problem, and they weren't, but they are viewed as part of the problem.
Well,
that is part of the issue.
Well, they definitely didn't help. But like, when you go back and listen to Dope Man, and you listen to that story, he's not glorifying the Dope Man. He really wants the Dope Man dead, because he got his sister hooked on crack.
Exactly.
And it made her sick, and it made her prostitute her body, and those kinds of things. But when we hear it, all we hear is, dope man, yeah, that's me, dope man. And we hear that, we bob our head, but we don't listen to the story that they're telling. That's why I don't really care for new hip hop, because when I listen to these guys, man, you're not telling the story.
You're very surface.
They took that formula and went with the catchy part, not with the substance part.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we hear K. You didn't catch all that? I don't know what he's talking about.
Listen.
You say Panda over and over again?
I was just about to talk about Panda. I'm like, I to this day still can barely understand what he was saying in that song.
Oral tradition.
Listen, somebody wise once said, there is power in storytelling. People want to know how you made it over. What is your story? Because see, I'm looking to you really for some advice. I'm looking to you for encouragement. You are my inspiration. But if you don't tell me what the story is, then again, I'm lost. I'm still lost. And so I think if we're going to be these group of people that say we want to lead the way, if we're going to wear that hat, the charge is, if you're gonna do that, then do it with power and conviction, and be sure to tell the whole story, not part of the story, right?
Accountable for what you were saying.
So, okay.
Again, because like once you say it, You can't unring a bell. Exactly.
No.
Once you put it out, especially in today's
day. Yeah. It's out there, and it's out there forever. Old tweets and everything.
Somebody says it got your song talking about something the way you shouldn't.
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. What is your favorite hip-hop album that is parallel to references in the Bible?
What's my favorite hip-hop
or artist or
album
song
that's parallel to reference in the Bible? Sheesh. Well, the first one that comes to mind is Ready to Die.
Mm.
Ready to Die. When the album starts, it picks up on... No, not Ready to Die. Life After Death.
Life After Death.
Life After Death. Oh, okay. And so when Life After Death starts, it picks up where Biggie had just committed suicide on Ready to Die. So the last song on Ready to Die is called Suicide Note, right?
Mm.
And then it picks up with him on the respirator, and you hear the beeping. Beep, and then it just flatlines. And then it goes into him again telling stories the only way that, you know, that Biggie knows how. But when you think about the whole album, there's an ebb and flow. So there's tragedy and triumph. There's robbery and rules. There's sky is the limit. And at the same time, they pray on my downfall.
Mm.
All in that album. And when I think about it, even just the fact that life after death, then the question for every human is...
Come on, you better come on, question for every
one. One, for the first album, are you ready to die? Because there is... Life after death.
Yep. Yes, it is.
And so the question is, where will your life after death be? Mm. And then on the other side, on the continuation of that is, well, what will be your story once you're gone? Because that's what Biggie is really telling. Because if he's life after death and he's standing in front of a hearse, it's really weird because, of course, he didn't live to see that album drop.
Him and Tupac both on Mike Machiavelli. Him and Tupac both actually did a, what is it?
They were prophetic in
their words, but they also wrote their
eulogy.
Their eulogy. Yeah. Both of them, if you really like Machiavelli, as well as Biggie, wrote their own eulogy before it even, like both their last albums, they actually didn't get a chance to
see neither one of them. Yes.
And the eye of it.
And so then when you think about Life After Death, so then that whole album is him telling his story of how he, you know, was a certain thing, you know, dealing crack or whatever, you know, got the cut with Jay-Z. I love to go. Right. But then that sky is the limit. You know, where his mom is talking in front of it and that kind of stuff. Man, it really pushes people to understand or even believe, even if you hadn't opened up a Bible, that there's possibilities.
Exactly.
That God can even use your mess to speak messages. Look, I'm sorry.
No, just go ahead. Go ahead.
Get it out.
Don't be new to it. Be true to it.
Exactly. Not getting excited about it.
Because please do.
God has factored in our mistakes. That's so strong. So when we quote scripture like all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, the translation is that not only the good things has he worked out for your good, but also your screw ups.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, found a way to read. Like, so when you're taking a long turn, then God's GPS is rerouting for you already. And all it's just a matter of you getting back on track. And so even when you look at all of that stuff, the ebb and flow in life after death, that's really the story. But the question still begs to be answered is, where will you spend your life after death? And for the believer, it is based on one fact. Do you believe Jesus Christ died for your sins? And if you do, then death may be scary, but it is also a place of celebration because you're leaving the place that you don't even live in. This is a temporary home.
Exactly.
So you better go on then. We all have somewhere to go. That's the real reality. So we talking about hip hop, y'all. Those that are tuning in, thank you for tuning in with your girl Charlie. We have Jason Brown. Jason, before we get back in, tell them who you are and what you do. We just really, you know, that's how I do sometimes. I like to go fast. Hands in the air, feet on the gas.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah. Full speed ahead. We know it.
But that's how we've been doing that since we met, though.
Yeah. So tell people who you are and what you do.
Oh, man. So I'm several things. First off, I'm a husband. My wife is a hot Delta.
Ooh.
Hey, right. If you listening, baby, hey. I'm also a father of two beautiful children, Jeremiah and Jaden. No, I'm a counselor for middle school in Fort Bend and Kristen McCullough. But on the other end is I am the lead middle school ministry leader. That's all the same thing. It's kind of at Harvest Point Fellowship Church in Pearland, where Lawrence Scott is pastor. I also run an organization called 4142.
Come on, talk about 4142.
So 4142 is a child that was birthed while I was doing full-time youth ministry at Lily Grove, where I grew up and where I served. And we wanted to, LG still in the house.
Right, right.
And we wanted to brand the ministry with something that was portable, but something that was also cool. And so I was in my office praying, meditating, listening to music, reading scripture. And in Matthew chapter 25, it came to my attention that everything that we do is so God would be pleased with us. So he gives all of us gifts, talents, treasures, or whatever it is for us to manage as stewards. And so in Matthew chapter 25, you have the parable of the talents. And all it simply says is that when the master came back home, he called all of those guys into question about what they had done with what God had given them. And the first two got two beautiful words, well done. And it occurred to me, just as I cut across the grass, it occurs to me that in our life, as a believer, we're living our life in front of an audience.
Right.
That audience is one person, God himself. Amen. And when we see him face to face, we want to hear him say two words, well done. That what I gave you, you gave it back to me and you multiplied it, you managed it well, you did better with it, you were able to introduce people to the kingdom. And so that's what 4142 is, for one audience, God, for two words, well done. So then the question that comes with 4142 nice. Is, what's your reason? What's your motivation? Are you motivated to do more? Or are you motivated to be more? And if mama is your only audience, I'll push you and say that's not big enough. And if your kids is your only audience, your only reason, I'm going to push you and say that's not big enough. You try to please your pastor, that's not big enough. We need to please God. And Almighty. He's our chief motivation. Amen. So that when we see him face to face, he'll say two words. Well done.
Oh.
So, yeah. So we do that. We have mentors.
Yeah.
We have life
coaching.
The mentor program is nonprofit warrior society. And so that's what I do. Oh, and I help my kids in baseball and softball. Yeah.
For one word.
For one audience.
For one audience.
For two words.
Well done.
And you can find it on the website, 4142.com. And it's spelled out, 4142.com.
Man, I know, listen, I don't know, we've been knowing each other about 20 years. But when I thought about like this show's concept, someone that wants to bridge the gap, I immediately thought of you, you know, because Confluence, it's about lifting as we climb to connect the community. I say of women on the podcast, but for the radio, it's a community of people.
Sure.
We want to create the conversation and start the dialogue. And so when I thought about, okay, bridging the gap, music is a huge influence.
Absolutely.
To this generation. Like, you know, for me, I some days music is like food to myself. Shout out to Shakespeare. That's who said that. It's food to my soul.
Sure.
But, you know, for me, I think that if you don't use your platform for what it was created for, you've lost. Right? And so let's get back into this conversation about this platform of hip hop.
Let's get back in.
Okay. We're going to go a little bit deeper.
Okay.
Okay. You ready?
Not really, but let's go.
You listen to Rakim?
I do. I haven't listened to Rakim in a minute.
Okay, so Rakim often went by Rakim Allah. Did you know that?
Yes.
Or just God.
Uh-huh.
In accordance with his followers' practice, as referring to one another, because I realized that he was a 5%er.
He's a 5%er, right.
Do you think that's ever justified? Because some people have said, sister, you are God.
Hmm.
So, I was explaining to him, shout out to my sister in the house from Atlanta. Hey, Scott! You know, some people will say, you are God, because God is in you. And like I tell my sister, I eat donuts, but I'm not a donut. A donut is in me.
You a Krispy Kreme.
I'm a Krispy Kreme. You know, I do some other things. It's been some other things in me.
I knew at
it's
some point.
There's some other things in me, but I'm not that either.
You're not that either.
I'm not that either. And I understand they're trying to say, you know, that you embody God. But what are your thoughts about that? Is that ever justified? to say that you are a walking. You are God. People have like, sister, I heard you say this, but you are God.
No, I don't agree with that at all. You know, I believe that there is one true God, and that's the God that is the creator of the universe that reigns in heaven, who came in the person of Jesus Christ and left us with the Holy Spirit. I'm not him.
Mm-hmm.
God is perfect. God is holy. God is just. God is merciful. God is loving. God is pure. God is kind. God is all these things. He can heal. He can provide. And I can't do any of that.
I can't do nothing.
In the way that he does it. Here's the thing. Watch this, though. Do we have God in us? Absolutely. When he made man, he breathed the breath of life. He said, we're going to make man in our image and in our likeness. So I have some of his, if you will, DNA inside of me, which allows me to love, which allows me to feel, which allows me to emote, which allows me to even hate, because there are some things that God hates, which allows me to be creative. And all of those things are connected to what God gave me when he breathed life into mankind. But am I God? No, I do not agree with that at all. And I know it sounds good, like, we're gods and goddesses and everything, but at what point does sin enter the picture to prove to you that that image that we had that was perfect was marred because of sin?
Mm-hmm.
Because to say I'm God or I'm a goddess would have to say that I believe that you are absolute perfection, if that's your view of God.
Mm-hmm.
So then if you're going to call me God, then my question is, well, what's your view of God? Are you saying that I can do and I am everything that God is?
But people think if I think it, therefore I am. You know, and you're right. I think I'm a millionaire each and every day, but my bank account says something
totally
different.
Right.
You know, I think
you don't
that,
have enough faith, right?
You know what I mean?
That's another conversation.
Listen, and so, you know, I think that I'm not a school teacher some days, but my paycheck says that I am,
yeah.
And the bills that got my name on it says that I better get to somebody's building and clock in, right?
Yeah, I said I was a superstar hooper till my niece said, no, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
And so I think that, I like I said, I get what they're trying to say, you know, but the part that I get confused. No, I'm not confused.
Yeah.
I'm old. I'm too old for these guys. I'm not confused. The part that gets me is like, you know, because you are this. You embody this. You're right. I am his daughter.
You got some of his stuff.
I have
Absolutely.
Some. But let me tell you, he created man on the sixth day, not the seventh. And seventh was what? He rested.
He rested.
That was perfected.
Right.
That the seventh means perfection.
Right.
He made us on the.
Right.
No, he didn't make me on the sixth. He made you on the sixth. So, ladies, when you get mad and remember, he is not perfect, honey. God made him on the sixth day.
And please stop expecting that. Stop. But here's the truth that I will love, because I think people call each other gods and goddesses outside of the 5% of religious practice as a way to boost your morale, as a way to boost your ego, as a way to pump you up and make you feel better, have high self-esteem. So we'll say, man, you a god. Oh, you a goddess. What's up, God? What's up, goddess? You know, what's up, queen? What's up, earth? We do all that stuff to make ourselves feel good. That for the believer, those of us who are Bible-believing Christians would accept the fact that we are made in this image, that in itself is enough. And so that's why I can't judge you or mistreat you, no matter what you believe or how you live your life or anything. Regardless of the choices that you've made, I believe this fact of every human being, that you are made in the image of God.
Mm.
And why is that not enough? Why do we have to add anything to his image, especially since we were the ones that marred the image?
Well, okay.
And I'm telling you, Charlie, if we could accept that truth, then we would have less kids that are bullied and mistreated. We would have less kids that would have low self-esteem or falling into anxiety and depression. If we would accept the truth, every person that's listening, accept the truth. You are made in his image. And that alone makes you beautiful in his eyes, even with the scars of sin.
Even with the scars of sin. You know, some people say, you know, because I'll tell you, I walk proudly. I am a sinner saved by grace.
Absolutely.
But some people say, I'm not a sinner. God forgave it all. You're right.
You're right.
But he knew that you was going to sin yet again.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And so the thing is, if I'm a sinner saved by grace, some people don't believe that. What is your thought on that? Because it's the way that seems right. But the end thereof is what?
Is destruction.
But
they don't believe that they're sinners.
Okay, because you're sin.
Are we talking about believers?
We talking about, yeah, I've had some people like that. That's not me.
Okay.
You know, he put it all on the cross. He paid it. He did.
He did.
He did.
But shall we sin that grace may abound? That's what Paul asked the question. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Does that mean because he paid it all, I get to live it all? Because he paid it all, I get to, you know, do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, with who I want to do it, and how much it costs to do it. Is that what we're saying? Because if that's what we're saying, then we don't think much about the sacrifice. When somebody does something that magnificent for you, then you change some of the things that you do to honor that person. And if Christ paid for your sins and you believe that that was a horrible death on the cross, then you ought not want to do that again because he did take care of it. So to live just any kind of way intentionally, and this might be hard to say or swallow, to do that intentionally and say that he paid for it all, but to intentionally live outside of his bounds, are you redeeming it?
What does redemption mean? What does redeem mean?
To have been bought back from bondage. Have you?
Some people like to be bonded, though.
And
have you realized that?
Oh, it's comfortable.
It's comfortable to live it.
No, it's not.
It's not comfortable to live in sin. I take that back. My mama, listen. Mama, I take that back.
Mama, she's. But God, some stuff is a crush, man. You know.
Yeah.
You know, I got that depression issue, and so you know, I can't get. You know.
Speak on it.
You know, I got that. You know, I got that habit. You know, and so watch this. Ooh. Because I've been talking about this for a while. Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus walked up on that man just by happenstance. And he asked that man, do you want to be made whole? To me, that would be an obvious yes. Or Jesus, why are you even asking that question? Because that's why he's there, to get healed. But Jesus asked him, and the response was, every time I try and get in the pool where the water is troubled, somebody get in before. Immediately, he made an excuse. But Jesus is asking, do you want to be made well? Why am I asking you that? And this is what I think. It may not be right. It may not be in your John MacArthur commentary, but this is why I think that happened. He's lame, and he's been like that for 38 years, right? Almost entire life, however long he's been living. And if he gets healed, then he can't go to that pool no more.
He can't go hang
around the sick people no more. He got to get up and go to work. He got to get up and go to church, because while he's sick in that culture, he couldn't do either. Because he's sick, you can't go worship, you can't work, you can't build authentic relationships because you're sick. But if I make you well, then you gotta pick up your mat and get out of here. And some people, I've been there before, like laying at the pool.
Some people like.
Misery loves company. I got sick friends, so we've been talking for 38 years. I've made a lot of relationships over here, and I'm cool sitting here. And so here you come about to make me uncomfortable because I've been doing this for a while now.
But people, that's what the word does. It makes you uncomfortable because it's supposed to change you.
Right.
And it's supposed to challenge you.
Yeah.
And some people have a problem with that because once I'm changed and challenged, I can't go to the same places no more. I can't hang with the same people no more. I can't go where I used to go. Right? And because sometimes, I'm going to just be truthful.
Be truthful then.
Sin feels good.
It does. What did TK say? I wouldn't bother.
Hey.
It wouldn't be worth it.
I just said it on
air. You did. But that's, you said keep it true, right?
It
wouldn't be worth the time doing it if there weren't parts that weren't enjoyable.
You got the, if I'm gonna sin, I better enjoy every moment.
You ever got that getting ready to get a whooping because you done been out the house too long? Something like that.
You might as well go on and stay out. If you gonna get a whooping, when you gonna get, it don't matter if you come in at 12:01 or 3:30, you still gonna get a whoop if the curfew was midnight. That's how my mama rolled. If the curfew was midnight, she was gonna have that conversation with you regardless. So I just go on and stay out. I'm already out. Right.
But it wouldn't be worth it if it didn't have a momentary, and I sit that there strongly, a momentary satisfaction.
Okay, I got another question. How can you put the so-called worldly people together with Bible-believing Christians?
Oh, I think that's a probably more simple question to me than the other ones that you've asked. It happens at church every Sunday. It happens at Bible study every Wednesday. We all worship together. I think the trouble is that the world is having trouble seeing the church as an attractive place anymore, because the Christian, the believer, has become an unattractive person.
Because speak on it. Speak on it.
We forget what God.
Sky over there snapping. Like speak on it.
We forget what God has brought us from. So then you have a public perception of some Christians, homophobic. Don't shack up. All of these things that we put out there. You don't wear pants. All of that stuff. And so when you see those kind of things getting all oppressed, and that's what people believe Christians are, then they bump into them and find out, oh, that's really not much different than what they really are. You are judgmental. You are homophobic and all of those things. And living a life as if God has not delivered you. Like, I never understood. They would ask me at church sometimes, like, how do you connect with these kids? Well, I talked to a kid today. I keep it a buck with them. I keep it 100. I tell them the truth. I don't tell them all the details of my story, but I tell them enough of the story.
Enough. Yeah.
So they understand that here stands in front of you somebody that has so many battle scars that are self-inflicted wounds. And God still has grace and mercy in my life. And I don't mind telling that story, because I don't want you going around thinking that you have to be perfect.
That's the problem, though. The people think that if I'm a Christian, I have to live a perfect life. And when the more and more I read my Bible, I realize that God came to save people just like me. I am a sinner truly saved by grace. There are so many women in the Bible that I actually can identify with. Woman at the well. Thank you, Lord, for deliverance. But like when you think about those, those situations. Yes, God. When you think about, he did not, blind Bartimaeus, Jairus' daughter who was possessed. He did not come to save the perfect, even the woman with the issue of blood. You know what I mean? She was not perfect. And I think people think that in order for me to be in church, I have to live this perfect, without flaw or blemish life.
But we put that on.
Do we?
Let me tell you something. Can I tell you how I really feel?
Doc, if you don't, I called you Doc, like we talking about. I'm the phone, Doc.
Word up.
If you don't tell me how you really feel.
Here's how I really feel. Many churches have mastered putting on the mask Sunday in and Sunday out.
Ooh.
Because we come in and say stuff like, and I'm not down to nobody, shout out to Kirk, but we intentionally say stuff, you look so much better when you smile. But what if I told you I was hurting today and didn't feel like smiling because I just found out some bad news on the way in? Can you take that? Like when you say good morning, how you doing? And if I actually answer and say I'm not doing well because when I got home, my clothes was on the back porch. Can you handle that kind of truth? But we have mastered to come in and you look like everything is well, and you got on your three-piece suit and you got on your expensive cheap shoes without cheap shoes because I couldn't afford it. Or whatever it is, we made up, we faded up, we dude up, we weaved up, we had it up, and all of those things. And then people coming in broken and they bump into people like, God is so good, and that is absolutely true, but I'm also broken right now. And my change ain't came yet. My breakthrough hadn't come yet. I'm still waiting on the change to come. I'm still standing like Job. Like, I'm going to stand here until my change comes. But right now, it hasn't. I'm being disciplined because of what I've done right now. And it don't feel good. So I don't always feel like the way I look. And I think when people come in, they expect you to feel like you look. And then when they find out the truth, they're like, oh, but we never get to that because we come in and, hey, how you doing? Hey, and we're in Sunday school and we ain't tell you that I don't know how to take care of my mama who is suffering from a disease or something like that, when that's the truth. I think we've mastered wearing the mask.
We've mastered wearing.
And you know, like I know, when you get around kids, they can sniff it out.
Kids can listen.
And guess what? And so can the so-called unchurched. They can sniff a phony a mile away. And so when you come in,
my cousin April over there talking about, yeah. Hey family, my family in the studio with me today. Yeah.
That's why Jesus was so unattractive to the Pharisee, because he hung out with the, with the undesirable, man. He hung out with prostitutes and tax collectors. And he
cheated. But you gotta get in the work, but that's the part that we don't say. You gotta you gotta catch a fish before you skin them. And so that's the part that we don't say. And then we will realize that, listen, all these people like me.
Hey.
They like me, Lord. They like me. like me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Check this out. I'm going to say this. Because you say you a bitch of the yard, whatever. Southern is a yard, but we're not going to fight about that. But if I tell you that I praise God every day that we didn't even have cell phones or social media in the 90s,
why?
You know how many superintendents and principals and doctors and educators and preachers would not be able to serve where they are just because there ain't no evidence. But when you just, I'm sorry, I'm just talking about me. I ain't talking about you out there. I'm talking about me. But I come clean. I beat you to the punch. I'm like Eminem on 8 Mile. I'm going to give it all to you before you can talk about me.
Come on, give it all to me before you can talk about
I'm not gonna let you lie on me and you know, fabricate the story. And then I found out about it. Said, I don't mind telling you the whole truth. I don't.
Man, but listen, okay, I got another question before we...
I ain't going to give it all on the radio, though.
Listen. Hey, honey. Listen, you got to tell them where to find you at the end.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Okay, I got one last question. It's about, I like this guy. His name is Kanye West. So back in 2004, Kanye West, he, listen, he got Jesus walk, like, doom, doom. Like, I like, listen. Man, that beat right there going right? He go hard. Jesus walks with me, right? And he took us back to our slave roots, you know what I mean? With that, like, yeah. But he's very controversial. Like, he's very. And why do you think that, because Kanye did a magazine photo shoot with the crown of thorns on his head, which was very controversial, right? But why do you think Christ is so controversial in an ever-changing world?
Wow, that's a heavy question. So you went from Kanye to Christ.
Kanye,
he was one of the ones that started putting stuff out there.
He's
rapping about anything except for Jesus. He said,
even
though church in the wild, what's a God to a non-believer? He dropped some stuff in there. But why is Christ so controversial in an ever-changing world? It's because of one word, I believe, that's love, man. Like, Jesus, come on, man. Jesus was here not to demolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so when you go through Matthew chapter 5-7, and he's going through the various laws, then it gets sticky because he's saying stuff that just don't seem like it makes sense. Like, if somebody strikes you in the cheek, give them the other one. Somebody wants your shirt, give them your jacket. If he say walk a mile, no, walk two.
You better say it like you're wrapping up.
Yeah, you see, I'm in the rhythm. But... But the things that he's saying and how we are to live our lives are so countercultural. And really, the way to buck culture is to live like Jesus. Anybody can smoke, drink, ride, do whatever, you know, blowing big, sipping lean or whatever. That's not against culture. Everybody do that, right? But to live like Jesus and to love who appears to be unlovable, right? Or to forgive that heinous sin that was against you. Or to... reconcile the sinner that has come to his senses, as opposed to cutting them off. You know, those things are controversial. You want me to forgive? Jesus said forgive you? Yes, he is. He is saying forgive. You want me to give you another chance? Yes. You want me to forgive you 490 times? Actually, that was hyperbole. He wanted every time they sinned against you.
Mm-hmm.
What? My offering don't mean nothing if I got something against my brother? Yes, that's controversial. So that big check you wrote and you hate your brother, it don't mean anything in the eyes of God. What? I can't take the Lord's Supper because my heart ain't right? Hey, I think you need to go examine yourself. Yes, that's all controversial, because when you start accepting Jesus' teaching, that means you can't do it your way no more. And so that's kind of culture. That's the Antonio Brown. I want it my way, and I want it my way today. That's not Jesus. Jesus is saying, drop your yoke, but take mine. And the chief yoke is how you treat the person across the table from you. It's love. How do people know that you're my disciples? The way you, here's the reason why people don't come to church. Here you go. How do you know that you're my disciples? By the way you love one for another. How you love your other disciple. And how we love each other in the church will show other people reasons why they ought to come be a part of this universal church. But when you got...
come on. I mean, hey, come on. I mean, we got much longer, so come on. Yeah, you better give it to a solid 5 minutes, baby.
But we wound our own soldiers. And then expect for them to come when Jesus said go.
Well, I mean, listen, y'all. I mean, we done had a real deep conversation about hip-hop, Jesus, and justice. Because Jesus is always justified.
Absolutely.
Always. But, you know, we'll listen to things and it influences our decisions. And that's one reason why I want to talk about it today. Yeah. So, Jay, tell everybody where to find you at so they can come and, you know, come to the Warrior Society.
Got
and tell
you.
Us about the Warrior Society as well.
Got you. I got you. So you can find me at www.4142.com and spelled out 4142. And there you'll find all of my information, my availability to speak. To coach, to do group training, and you'll also find the mentor program, Warrior Society. Now, we have an event coming up this coming Saturday on the 14th. It is the Boys Conference. This year is called We Are Kings. It will be held this Saturday at the Harvest Point Fellowship Church in Pearland. So if you go to the website and click on the Warrior tab, you'll see the conference link, and all you got to do is fill it in for your middle school or high school boy grades 7 through 12. It is absolutely free of charge, and the information they're going to get is going to be world-changing. Also, the following weekend over at the Forge in cooperation with Will Cumbie and the Fountain of Praise, we're having a boys camp, manhood camp. And so if you go to the Fountain of Praise website, you can register your son, your nephew, your friend around the corner, your little baby cousin, JoJo, who just need a little manly support to come and register for even the manhood camp. And so you got two weekends back-to-back where your son can be influenced in a magnificent way.
Wow, man.
So fine. Oh, yeah, IG at Mr. 4142, Facebook, Jason Brown, Twitter at Mr. 4142. My business page is 4142 Youth Development Services. It was really 4142 YDS. I'm easy to find. Look for me.
Look for him, huh? Yeah. Thank you for tuning in with me. Thank you, Jason, for coming to the station rocking with me on this Sunday afternoon. You're rocking with the best. Never settle for less. Thank you for tuning in to Blessed Beats, the inspiration of hip-hop. This is your girl, Charlie Marcole, and I am sounding out saying I love you. You are love. God is love. One love. See you next week, y'all.